Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to another Pit Panther Rants, another Sports Rants podcast. Vlad Harris, your host, brought to you by Armchair Media. Take a seat. Happy Tuesday to you guys. And hopefully you guys are chilling out with the whole COVID thing. Maybe you're working from home, making your coffee, doing your video conference, ordering curbside. Maybe you're doing that with your significant other, your special someone, kicking back with Netflix, working. And for the rest of you, you're trying to keep your sanity or and whatnot. Yeah, I was going off the top of my head with that one. I was trying to sound like one of those Light FM radio hosts type thing. A lot's happened. I haven't podcasted in a while because I just, I don't know, not much really to talk about, not much going on. And I mean, unless you want to talk about the Jordan, documentary. I mean, a lot of people have been talking about that, and I think I'll eventually get around to watching it. I just, the thing is when you're on Twitter, everyone talks about it, so there's no point of even watching it. It's like with every television show or movie. If you want to know what it's about, just go on Twitter, because they'll tell you, and then you're like, okay, I'll have to watch it then. It's like with Game of Thrones and Breaking Bad, all those shows that people love that I thought about watching. I'm like, okay, well, Twitter just told me pretty much what they're all about, so I don't really have to even bother with it. Anyways, happy belated day to all the mothers. If any mothers listen to this podcast. And if not, happy Mother's Day to you guys, wives, moms, girlfriends, whatever. I mean, I just think that, I saw the thing on the news about the Olive Garden going haywire in North Hills, or Cranberry, I should say, which kind of makes me wonder about Pittsburgh's seafood game. I mean, how has their seafood game been? I mean, that's a question. I mean, because if Olive Garden is that packed, that's kind of like a warning sign, or unless maybe there's not good seafood places out in Cranberry, because, where I'm at down here, there's seafood everywhere, and it's like a big thing. It's not so much the crawfish. It's like the people down here love the snow crabs and the crab legs. And, a lot of places they'll cook them in the, in the Cajun spices with the corn and potatoes and sausage. They'll cook them that way usually, just like they do the crawfish. And, you get the butter, and they have these special packs, as they call them, where it's a mixture of like butter, garlic. They call them loud packs. I mean, they do that down here. I mean, it's a big thing. People love their crab legs down here, and the special seasonings that go with it. So I'm not sure what Pittsburgh seafood game is like. I've been away for 10 years, and I really don't eat seafood, but down here it's talked about so much. But, there may not be some good seafood shacks. Maybe, probably not in Cranberry. I guess it's all the corporate stuff. I guess if you want, like, the mom-and-pop type of stuff that's good, you gotta go further into the city. It's probably what I'm thinking. But, yeah, I mean, Olive Garden and Red Lobster being that crazy, that's nuts. Well, Olive Garden is always, always packed. I mean, it's always gonna do business. I mean, people love Olive Garden. I mean, I like Olive Garden. you know, for me, I love the sound of the breadsticks. I mean, the pasta's all right. I mean, if you're a pasta snob or an Italian food snob, you're going to not really like Olive Garden too much. But, you know, people like it. It's adequate. I mean, I sent my daughter's teacher a $25 gift card to Olive Garden for Teacher Appreciation Week because I know everybody and their mother loves Olive Garden. And she was happy with it. She's like, I'm going to get Olive Garden this weekend. Great. Now, as far as, you know, Mother's Day here, I mean, you know, I don't think I've ever been out for Mother's Day dinner in probably over a decade. I mean, it's just too crazy. I mean, the Houston Zoo is always packed, but if you ever want to take your, you know, if there's any day you want to go to the zoo where it's not packed, you go on Mother's Day because no one's ever going to be there. Everybody's either out to eat or cooking out, whatever. We also missed, what else happened last week that I didn't podcast about? There was Cinco de Mayo, which happened. And Cinco de Mayo happened on Taco Tuesday. And, well, nobody could go out. I haven't really went out on Cinco de Mayo in years. I think the last time I ever went out on Cinco de Mayo had to be like freaking almost 20 years ago. I mean, went down to the strip to Banana Joe's when it was, you know, back when the strip was popping. And yeah, we went there and I think we got our Coronas with limes. I just turned 21. I never understood the Corona with lime thing. And people said, oh yeah, just put in your drink, it's great. I'm like, okay. So, but I just remember, what happened at Banana Joe's? Oh, some girl was dancing on our table and I offered her a dollar because she was dancing on our table, and the boyfriend, I guess, wasn't too crazy about that. And I think the boyfriend got into a fight, I think about 30 minutes later with somebody else, which is pretty much typical for a club on the strip. But I mean, I read an article out of total boredom about the strip, about how the club scene was so big then. I mean, that was the strip was pretty happening. I mean, you had, you know, Whiskey Dick's, Banana Joe's, Bar Pittsburgh, Donzie's, you had Tequila Willie's. I'm sure there's a bunch of other places I'm going to miss. The Millennium, I think. But the thing is, I was never really a club guy. I mean, it's mainly because I wore hoodies and they were always banned. So I had no desire to go to a freaking club because of that. They always banned the fucking hoodies. I'm sure I could have took it off, but still, I mean, yeah, no. I rather went to the South Side because I can walk into a bar with a hoodie on and I can have my shot and beer. I mean, I didn't dance. But as far as, you know, Cinco de Mayo and all that goes, I mean, there was a debate on Twitter, I guess the talk is you do. I mean, personally, me, I like a corn tortilla, soft corn. People tend to hate on the corn tortilla, but the thing is, with the corn tortilla, you gotta cook it first. I mean, you oil. They put a little oil in the pan and they put their tortilla and they fry it. I can do that. A lot of times, what I do is I just want to get a little char on it. I just, you know, what I do first is I dip my tortillas in water and just throw them on the skillet. Of course, I grease the skillet first. You throw them on one of those, and you make sure the corn tortilla's got its burnt marks on it, and you're good to go. I mean, you're gonna have a really good ass taco with that. I mean, you gotta do it with tortillas. Even the flour tortillas, you gotta do that. I mean, throw those things on the freaking skillet for a few minutes and voila, you're going to have a really kick-ass taco. I know down here, when I started, you know, I was pretty into the taco trucks and the taco shops. I mean, because they didn't really have this stuff up in Pittsburgh, and you know, you get your fajita taco with your beef, and they'll give you they top with cilantro and onion, which was, I was like, where's the lettuce and tomato at? And they're like, oh, that's extra. They're like, trust me, you're not going to need the freaking lettuce and tomato with the cilantro and onions pound on it. And they give you like the little packs of red and green sauce. Sometimes they're in a baggie, tied up, and you have to prick the bag open to put the sauce on it. And they give you the limes too, and the limes are the best part because they bring the food to life. You know, my area, I was at least happy to get at least a decent taco shop like that. I mean, you know, for me, I love a good street taco. So yeah, for me, corn tortilla, fajita beef, and of course the cilantro onion on top of it. That's, for me, that's what I go with. I mean, the kids, they love the ground beef and cheese and lettuce, you know, but just a regular, you know, drive-thru taco, I guess you can call it. The Taco Bell taco, I don't know. But I mean, I like Taco Bell sauce too. I mean, if you're gonna make like a regular taco like that, I mean, you gotta have some sort of sauce with it. I like the fire sauce. I mean, you gotta have some heat. Now, I joined a coffee club. And basically what they do is they send you bags of coffee from for me it's every 2 weeks. And they do it, they basically take, you know, they partner with, I guess what you can call coffee shops. They're kind of like mom and pop. And, you know, they place your order, the coffee place, roast your coffee, and they grind it to what you want to do. So I have a French press, so they grind the coffee to a French press, and you know, I'm just learning about how the grinds are different. For a French press, they make that the grinds are more coarse; they're not finely grounded. And I'm just learning. I've been doing French press wrong for the longest time. Because when you use fine grounds, you have a hard time pressing down on the French press. But my first coffee was from a coffee shop out in California called Augie's. It was really good coffee. Now I got a breakfast blend from Red Rooster Coffee in Floyd, Virginia. And it's organic. It's the breakfast blend, and it's a whole bunch of aromas, I guess you can say. They always tell you what kind of notes are in their coffee, whether it's vanilla, chocolate, but, you know, I can never taste the difference, which is probably a good thing because I wouldn't want this type of stuff overpowering my coffee. But, I mean, I like it because I don't have to use creamer on these. I mean, a good coffee doesn't need creamer. And on top of that, I got to drink it slow. So, I mean, one thing I've been doing in quarantine is basically doing stuff like this. And, I mean, Kindle, Amazon has a 2-month free trial. I got the Kindle trial membership, you know, free trial, and just been reading books. You know, just doing different things, catching up on some stuff. You know, I could do some, like, technology or stuff related to my career, but I don't know. I think when you're at home, it's just time to take a break from that. You got to take a break from that stuff and just, you know, just sit back. And I see that Governor Wolf is rolling back, I guess. You know, they're starting to open up parts of Pittsburgh, which is good. Here in Texas, I mean, once the governor announced they were reopening everything, you know, just slowly, there's just been more cars on the road, more stuff packed, and not a lot of restaurants are operating 25% capacity, but that's, and not every policeman is going to be able to enforce, you know, the rules. You know, that's just how it is, and just use your best judgment. That's all I can say on these type of things. And you know, I'm sure I'll be back at the office eventually here pretty soon, and that's going to come up. And I think projects and stuff are going to restart. I mean, I'm seeing the Major League Baseball is making their plan to restart their leagues, and so are the other groups. And I think it's because, you know, infections have been down and people think that the worst is behind us. And you hope it is. That's all I can say about that, is you hope that the worst is behind and no more infections happen. And that could be a possibility. And now with summer coming, with the hot weather, maybe it's, you know, this is going to die off. But let's hope that that's the case. I know some people are saying, well, we may be in more trouble. Let's not hope for more trouble. Let's hope that it's gone and it's behind us. And if the worst does happen, then, you know, well, I don't know. I mean, sometimes, you know, as our country as a whole, I mean, I don't know how we operate. I mean, it's hard to say. Sometimes we learn by screwing up a lot, I guess you can say. But anyways, let's get to some Pitt stuff. Pitt was supposed to have their Pitt football was supposed to have their annual golf outing, and they didn't have it. So they put a video of all the Pitt players and coaches hitting golf balls, which was kind of cool. I thoroughly enjoyed that. Recruiting, I guess the shutdown has been lifted, so Lance White was pretty excited about that. They showed him dancing in some sort of GIF type of thing. I don't know. But despite the shutdowns and everything, Pitt landed some recruits last time we talked. Let's see, who do we got? The first one on my list is Nate Yarnell, a quarterback from Lake Travis in Austin, Texas. 6'6", 200. Two offers that I saw that stuck out to me were, well, actually, there was he got offered by Utah. Houston offered him. And so if Dana seems to like this kid, then that's good enough for me. For Pitt to go into Austin, Texas, in Longhorn Country and land a recruit, that's pretty big. I mean, if you're seeing the players Pitt's landing, I mean, they're getting kids from everywhere now. I mean, they've been kicking ass in Georgia, and they just landed two in Michigan, which we'll talk about as well. But I have a buddy who coaches in Austin, Texas. He coaches football. He knows Nate Yarnell, loves the kid. One comparison I see him draw to be compared to is Tony Pike, the quarterback for Cincinnati Bearcats, who took Cincinnati to two back-to-back Big East titles. We all know Tony Pike very well. So when I heard that comparison, I was kind of mad because, well, for obvious reasons. But I like it. I mean, 6'6", big arm QB. And I saw his film. Sorry about that. That was my Apple Watch hitting the table. He looks pretty pretty mobile. Kind of reminds me of Ben Roethlisberger in a way. Now, next kid on the list that they landed. Actually, they just landed him on Sunday. Brandon Honorable. He's offensive tackle. from Detroit, Michigan. And he had plenty of offers. I mean, a lot of Big Ten offers. Yeah, lots of Big Ten offers. I mean, Purdue, Maryland, Minnesota. Even SEC hit an offer from Tennessee as well. So I can dig that. And then the other kid they landed, actually, we got three more kids on this list that I got to go over. On April 30th, they landed Marco Fugar. He is a commit from Florida. And he is another, he's offensive guard. So Pitt's, you know, they're landing some, you know, they're getting their offensive lineman in shape. I mean, I guess the only biggest two offers that stand out for me are Colorado State and Maryland that he had. And then there's Preston Levant, outside linebacker from Georgia. I believe. Let me go back. Yep. Offensive lineman from Georgia. Plenty of ACC, Big Ten offers, Big 12 offers. I mean, the guy, that's what's great about these, that's what's crazy about these guys' pair landing is they got all these offers from like really good schools. And the last player list, Terrence Enos, offensive tackle from Detroit. And he's got a bunch of sexy offers. Kentucky, LSU, Maryland, Missouri, Purdue. Nah, Rutgers isn't a sexy offer. Nope. Nope, not sexy. Vanderbilt, West Virginia, Michigan State. And the list goes on. So, Pitt's class right now is 21st or 22nd in the nation. 5th in the ACC. That's crazy. 21st in the nation. But 5th in the ACC. Which leads me to believe that better things are ahead for the ACC in terms of football. This past year, they didn't have a good year this past year as a conference. Because we all know how people jerk off over conference records and bowl games and whatnot. And of course, same deal on the draft this year. They didn't have that good draft class. They usually do. They usually are they're usually second place to the SEC in draft, draft classes. But this year they weren't. The Big Ten was second to the SEC, and so of course people jacked off over the Big Ten like they always do. But recruiting's picking up. I mean, this is big for Dave Borbély as well because he's kind of under the microscope. We just see big things from him. Now, I did pose a question about what people were hoping to see with the spring game. I can't seem to find the replies as to what, because it's been so freaking long, as to what I, But a lot of people were curious about the running game for the spring game, and of course, linebacker depth. I'm sure there's a lot of questions we'd like to have answered, but yeah, we'll wait till practice comes in August, I believe. But it's great to be a Panther. I mean, things are starting to shape up, and at least as recruiting goes, I mean, there's good things ahead. But in terms of the conference, Louisville, I guess, has been hit with a letter from the NCAA, which who knows what happens there. And, of course, Duke's not so much under investigation, but I guess Zion Williams, received a lot of benefits, you could say, at Duke. And some people were concerned that it was going to be on Pitt's doorstep, but doing some more reading, it looks like this is more between agents, Zion's group, and shoe companies. What happened is the after Zion was drafted, he had he signed with an agent company, and he ended up firing him not too long after that and went with somebody else, but he was still under contract with them. And a lot of people were bringing this Gina Ward to be the bad person out of this. And when I did some reading, it looks like what happened here was Zion actually sued her and her company that she works for. And this lawsuit that she brought on Zion and Duke and whatnot is a countersue. And basically, he had 5 years left on his deal with when he signed with her. And basically, he unlawfully breached his contract. He fired her with no cause. Like, he had no reason to fire her because she was getting him deals. I think what happened here was probably he signed with this person and probably whoever was representing him, whether it was the shoe companies or whatnot, they probably told him to fire this person and go with this person. It's probably what happened. But basically, at the end of the day, money is money. Time is money. So she wants her money. That's all it is. So the only thing I can say is, I mean, we'll see what happens. But as far as from a Pitt fan perspective, I don't think you have to worry about it going on the doorstep of our basketball program or Jeff Capel. This is more of a Zion, Duke, shoe company, agent type thing. This is just about money. That's all it is. It's a fight over money. So, it doesn't matter. I mean, NCAA is not going to do shit anyway. Anyways, guys, I'll go back to work. Hail to Pitt. Bye.